Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last. It's April 24th, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
They left us unsupervised.
They did. It's kind of awesome. Yeah, I have all the passwords. Nobody should mess with me. Charlotte, I wanted to talk a little bit about something interesting you wrote up today, which is sort of an overview of what the reviews are saying about the iPhone SE.
Yes, I read all the iPhone SE reviews, so you don't have to. You are welcome, dear listener.
Yes.
No, I did read a lot of the iPhone SE reviews, and they're really interesting. And look, as I put in my article, the TLDR of this is that it's a really good device at a really good price point.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is I don't think any one of the reviewers would buy it with their own money.
Right. Given the option, that's not what they would get.
Because they want higher-end devices, and this device is not designed for them. However, what they've all rightly, I think, noted is that for the people this device is aimed at, which is a very substantial market,
yeah,
it's going to be hugely popular and wildly successful. Now, I know, as listeners will remember, John and I had a little disagreement. Was it this week? Was it last week? Was it last decade? I honestly don't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the last few days, John and I had a little conversation on here about whether or not Apple should have released the iPhone SE. I wasn't convinced, but I did totally agree with John that it will sell very well.
Yeah.
Nothing in my opinion, nothing I've read on these reviews it indicates otherwise to me. Like,
yeah,
there's clearly a big market for it. It's a great price. It's going to do very well. Yeah. There's a few things that are worth noting, though.
Okay.
First of all, there's like an advantage and a disadvantage to the lack of Face ID, right?
Right.
Lots of people like Face ID.
I think at the moment, the biggest difference is whether or not you're a person who has to regularly wear a mask.
Right. And a couple of the reviews did pick up on this. And that's quite an interesting thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How well timed that might be. People have noticed that the camera, because it's a 10R camera, is pretty good still.
It's a great camera.
Yeah, and the thing that I think most impressed the reviewers, and we noted straight away here on the Mac Observer and on TDO, was the presence of the A13 chip, which makes it's a pretty big punch it's packing for this kind of price point.
Right, which for people who aren't necessarily keeping careful track of Apple's processors, this is the 11 Pro processor. This is essentially the latest and greatest processor that you can get in a phone, and they've put it in this sort of budget model, I guess we'd call it.
Correct. They put an iPhone 11 family processor in an iPhone 8 body with an XR camera, and yeah, that's kind of how it is.
And it's $400? I believe,
and it's $400 starting price
for a 64 gigabyte for 64 gigabytes of storage, which is not insulting. Which it used to be.
No,
entry level budget phone was 32 or 16.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
something insulting.
Decent capacity.
Yeah, it's great.
So there's, Joanna Stern, I think, and we've sort of just touched on this, called it a Frankenphone in her video review, which, by the way, you have to watch. It's hilarious,
delightful.
The Matthew Panzerino at TechCrunch and kind of noticed it was a bit of a spare parts device. So there are all those concerns, but as I say, that phone is not really designed for these kind of power users.
Right. Yeah. But the thing that I liked about the thing that I noticed the most about these reviews is the thing that you're picking up on, which is the reviews are saying that it would be great for people. Capital P people, that there's a lot of folks out there who are smartphone users who are not necessarily folks that are going to be super duper power users, that they, no matter how much their phone can do for them, they always want it to do a little bit more. Lots of those people are going to be really happy with this kind of device. And a lot of reviews didn't used to be able to make that distinction. And now is very exciting, because it used to be like Apple made this thing and it's not for me personally and therefore it's crap.
Yeah.
It was very much that stance.
And there's been a lot of reviews and lots of conversation around Apple products where people are like, there's too, you know, there's not everything under the sun in this, so it's rubbish.
Right.
And but actually, I think there's a very good understanding now, probably because of the success of the first generation of iPhone SE, about who the iPhone SE's audience is. Mm-hmm. There's a very good understanding of why people love the device.
Yeah.
And
I think there's a certain amount of like people who are reviewing these being able to go, I can see the value in this, even though it's not value to me personally, which is something that didn't used to be. It used to be like something like this would get hated on. You know, look at some of the iPad reviews where people went, you know, oh, it doesn't have this or it doesn't do this or whatever. And since I want it to do that and it doesn't, obviously it's terrible and no one anywhere should ever buy one. Which is not necessarily true, because Apple's made kind of a lot of money on being able to give consumers things that are useful and fun.
Yeah, and I also don't think actually we should be the type of people that say, no, Apple should only sell $1,000 phones.
Precisely.
I think it's really important that Apple as a company does not do that, in fact.
Right.
Now, that doesn't slightly shift my view that I might have waited a few weeks to release it, but...
Right. But the fact that there's a spot in their product lineup for something like this, like, it's still valid. Right.
Totally valid. They're definitely going to make a squillion dollars from it.
Give or take.
And... to the nearest decimal. And I think if you look through all the reviews, they're all going to reflect that. It is quite interesting, and we only touched on it a little bit on the show, that Apple did put that top-end processor in it.
Yeah.
Could they probably... Now, I'm thinking out loud here a bit. Could they have made it cheaper by putting a lower-end processor in it? Like, you know, just put the A12 in it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or... actually, is it more efficient to put the processor they're using for other things in? They're presumably making lots of iPhone 11s and therefore making lots of the processor.
Right.
And therefore...
That was my presumption.
Just to use that.
Yeah.
That I assume is the logic of it.
Yeah. That's mine as well. I just think, like, if that's the one that they're currently making, that's the one that goes on the phone. So, yeah.
It seems like a kind of Tim Cookie...
Yeah. It has to make a lot of supply chain sense, because he's the master of the supply chain. So yeah.
That seems to work for me. Now, I want to go back, because all the reviews noticed, as you would, the return of the home button.
Yes.
Now, you love a home button, don't you, Kelly?
I do very much enjoy a home button. It was very weird to move to Face ID last fall, I will say that. And also... about a month ago, I was waiting in a doctor's office, and just sitting in the waiting room, they were making everybody wear a mask.
Yeah.
And so I put on this mask and I sat down to wait, and I picked up my phone and my phone went, ha ha ha, no. And I went, oh. And
well,
extrapolate that out over the 15 minutes I sat in the waiting room and put down my phone and picked up my phone. And I went, if I'm going to have to wear a mask all the time, this actually crossed my mind at like minute 12. If I'm actually going to have to wear a mask regularly when I go outside, I'm going to have to go back to my 8.
Right. Now, of course, you can, you know, swipe up, activate the, the passcode thing,
yes,
and you can get in.
Type a passcode like a caveman. Yes, you can do that.
You can be medieval and type a passcode. But I'm conflicted about it, because I get why in the current circumstances everyone's like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to touch. I don't have to wave something in front of my face. Mm-hmm. Equally, I'm kind of like, I still really love Face ID.
Oh, I do too. It makes me very happy. So, but I remember briefly considering, like, it's entirely possible that if I were a person that had to do this regularly, like if I had a job where I needed to be out in public and wearing a mask a lot, then I would definitely look long and hard at how impactful to my life it would be to swap out for a home button with Touch ID.
Yeah. just kind of to sort of sum up everything else, I think we should reflect on the camera in this device, because that for a lot of people is really important in their smartphone. It's their camera. So basically, if you look particularly at, you know, John Gruber did a really good kind of breakdown of the different photos he took with different iPhones. And basically, the new iPhone SE camera is really very, very good. I've always liked my 10R's camera. This seems to have used, has a bit more advanced, I think, AR and artificial intelligence in it, I think, to make, which improves it even further. So I think that's actually, that's quite telling, because they've managed to put a decent camera in it. Which is going to be, that's going to be quite a big deal for people. You know, I would say most normal users care more about the camera than what chip is in it.
I mean,
there's no doubt about that.
I would go so far as to say, if you do not have an SE, if you have any phone that has a home button, this camera is an upgrade, because it's the camera out of a Face ID camera, out of a Face ID phone. So it's going to be better than the camera that you have. Even if you have an 8, this is going to be a better camera than the one that you have, I think. And it's going to come with all of the stuff that you don't have. And I know, because I had an 8, which was the, before the SE, was the latest and greatest iteration of what you could get on a phone with a home button. And portrait mode and all of that didn't work. So it's...
portrait mode does work on the 10R.
Right. And it works on the SE. You get the AI piece of the photography that you did not get in an iPhone 8. So for the same size phone as an 8, you can get this SE. So if you have like a 6-something or a 7-something, then this is definitely going to be an upgrade for you, in that you're going to get a much, much better camera. And part of the reason that I can add the second much in much better camera is because you get the camera and you get all of the processing horsepower that goes into sort of the AI piece of the photography experience on an iOS device. So you get all of that stuff with like the lighting effects and the portrait mode, where you can kind of blur a background behind somebody. You get all that good stuff in this camera, aside from it will take a really nice picture of the thing on your desk, or the food that you're eating, or whatever else it is you're trying to take a picture of. You know, document scanning, if that's a thing that you need to do. Those are all things that are still like amazing on this one, that, you know, people are like, oh, it's only a 10R camera. But like a 10R camera in its own right is a really good camera.
I'm really happy with the camera. But that's a good point about the kind of things like document scanning. Write-ups on how to do that over on the macobserver.com, by the way, one of my favorite features on the phone.
It's so good.
And the other thing is the because of the processor, and we do need to keep coming back to this, it means you're not going to be stuck not being able to get the most up-to-date apps and version of iOS.
That's
because, you know, if you're really into your iPhone 8, like eventually the wheel's coming off that, right? You can't just keep going, upgrading. They are trying.
There will come a point.
Correct me. Is the iPhone 8 the cutoff, or was it the 6?
It's the 6. What point are you? 6 or 6S, I think, right now.
Right. You can't get iOS 13 on the 6, can you?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can on the 6. I'm trying to remember if you can on the 8.
13 you can on the 8,
Fine. So
that one I remember.
The point is, you're not on the iPhone SE, you are not going to be left behind when everyone's, you know, when you get the big operating system upgrades. So
and that goes on for quite a long time. Like, that's one of the reasons that Apple can talk about having so many devices out in the world, is because they do continue to support devices for quite a long time, comparatively, you know, compared to like what other devices have for you. So you can get iOS 13 clear back to the original SE, but it's going to be one of those where some of the features are limited. Like, you don't have the horsepower for one of these features or one of those features or whatever. So it goes back to the 13 goes back to the 6S Plus, the 6S. So if you have an iPhone 6, you can't run iOS 13. But I would argue, like you were saying, if you have a Touch ID phone that is not, if you have a Touch ID phone that's more than a year or two old, you may want to look at upgrading to this because A, you're going to save a bunch of money. B, it's going to be a long-term investment because you're going to have support for that processor for a long time to come.
Yep.
And because it's going to be an upgrade in every way from whatever device you have. Even if what you have is an iPhone 8, it's still going to be a significant upgrade in the camera and in the speed. And you're going to get, if you have something before an iPhone 8, you're going to get better battery life. Only because I don't think an 8 is going to necessarily be old enough to really have degraded to a point where you're going to be like, yeah, my iPhone 8 battery sucks.
Battery life was one of the criticisms Joanna Stern made.
Well, she may also have been doing an awful lot with it. And I'm not trying to say that she was wrong about the battery life, but yeah.
No, it's not going to be as good as a phone where you can put a bigger battery in, right?
Right. Yeah. You still only have an iPhone 8 amount of space to work with. So, yeah.
Correct. My take on it is actually I quite like the bigger screen real estate that I have on the 10R.
Yeah.
I would have had a dilemma, though, had when I last bought a phone, this had been an option.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I would have seriously considered getting this device.
Yeah, for a bunch of reasons. The price tag is one. The same camera, the size. Yeah.
Exactly. All the things we've named. Yeah. So there. I think the reviews are worth checking out. I think.
Absolutely. They will,
I'll be very interested to see the sales figures on this because I suspect it will be a squillion.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we will get a little bit of insight into that. Sometimes we do when Apple releases something near the end of a quarter. Sometimes a little bit before they have an earnings call, like the one that we have scheduled now for the end of the month. And so I'm curious if we're going to see any sort of announcement about what kind of numbers the SE is doing. So it sort of comes back to Charlotte's stance about whether or not Apple should have released it. I wonder if they're going to make a big deal about however many they've sold, because it might be, because the optics of that could be taken with sort of the worst intentions and maybe people trying to not make, portray Apple in a less than favorable light, I guess we'll say. But I would definitely be interested to see how this does. I would also be really interested to see what it's like after the fact when, I know it's not going to be back to normal, but when we can start doing a little bit more going outside and social interaction, I'm very curious when people can just sort of go out to a shop and see a phone and go, ooh, I like that, but I can't spend $1,000 on a phone. And now I don't have to. What kind of numbers the iPhone will do in that respect when people can actually just sort of go out and shop again. So I think that's going to be interesting too. I was really pleased to read your takes on these reviews, Charlotte. I think there's a whole lot of stuff to like about this phone. If you are one of the people who does like it, if you're going to get one, if you did get one, we would definitely like to hear from you and your experience. Observations@MacObserver.com. is the email address you can use. You can also get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or if you want to, you can leave comments in the show notes. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for joining me today to talk about iPhone SE reviews.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think you can pre-order them now, can't you?
Yes. So
check out the reviews and see if it's the one for you.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, if you've got one or if you're very interested in one, we would like to hear from you. And that's going to do it for us. I will talk to all of you on Monday. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. Be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.